Good singing. Let's see. There we go. All right. That is loud. Sort of loud. It always sounds loud up here, but y'all don't seem to think it's loud, so. All right. Proverbs is where we're at this evening. That's where we're going to start. Say a few things about the mind, particularly mental stability. Mental stability. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. And I'm going to show you a couple verses, and then I'm going to... That's good. I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's good. Mental stability. Obviously, when we preach about the mind and talk about things of the mind on Wednesday nights, can't cover every single case and every single scenario in an hour. But there are some things we can cover, and just keep that in mind. These are principles, and these are things that apply in most cases. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. This is look in verse 2 for the context, but this verse contains a principle that is much needed. It's much needed. And let's just read it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2 for the context. The Bible says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." So all the ways, just the context, whatever you do, you have a justification for it. And so, and whatever you do, you'll defend it. And that's why you need the Bible. So you get God's word on what you're doing and whether it's the right direction or the wrong direction. Because in your mind, it is the right direction. Whatever your decision is, it's the right direction. So all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Here's the principle. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So you want your thoughts to be, your mind to be anchored somewhere. You want your mind to be stabilized. The Lord says, well, the way you do that is you commit what you're doing to me. And then your mind will be corrected. That's kind of a, you might think that's, and I do too. I read that and I think, well, I don't have my mind right. I need to get my mind right before I start serving the Lord, or I need to have my mind right. And the Lord says, no, you need to start committing yourself to me, and your mind will correct itself. And your mind will get focused on the right things. Problem is, it's not focused on the right things. And so if you start committing more and more of your life to my word, to my preaching, to prayer, to service, to applying the Bible to your life, so then your mind will be corrected, and it'll be stabilized, and it'll be anchored in the right place. So let's pray, and we'll talk about this mental stability, because that's the principle. I'm going to show you a couple other verses that are like that. And then I'm going to take you to a psalm and show you that David is a man that lived this out. And he lived under constant pressure and trouble, but he had this thing worked out. His mind was stabilized in the midst of all kinds of trouble. But let's pray, and we'll deal with this idea of mental stability. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. I thank you for your words. Thank you for each soul that's here and those that are not here. I pray you'd heal up their bodies and help them. And I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help all of us, those that are watching, those that are here, that you don't help us all with your words. Help us make good decisions. Help us, we got mental issues and things that need to be straightened out and can be corrected with these principles tonight. I pray that you'd help us apply them. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's the thought. Commit thy works unto the Lord, thy thoughts shall be established. So if you want some mental stability, if you want your mind to stop being thrown back and forth and tossed about, just like James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's just like a boat being tossed by waves. It's just thrown around, and the winds or the winds are throwing the waves around and all that kind of stuff. He said that's the problem, is the person, the soul, is not committed to the Lord, and so what's happened is they're all over the place, and their mind is subject to every single thing that passes by. And so if this comes by their thoughts, then they get blown this way. And if this comes by their thoughts, then they get blown this way. And if this comes by, they get blown back over here. And so it's just all over the place. There's no stability in it. And so commit thy works unto the Lord. Thy thoughts shall be established. Here's another way that this can be applied is you might think, if I serve the Lord, or if I start trying to serve the Lord, I'll be a hypocrite or something along those lines. And the Lord says, look, you may have to deal with accepting your own hypocrisy for a while if you want your mind to get straightened out. You may have to say, you know what, I am a hypocrite. But you know what? It's not going to stop me from serving God. I need to get my mind corrected. I need some stabilization. I need my mind to stop getting tossed around all over the place. I mean, I'm up one day, I'm down another. I'm just all over the place. And the Lord says, the problem in this case is you're not committed to what He's doing. And so you're just blown about by every piece of information that comes around. This piece of information shows up and it's, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And this piece of information comes up, oh no, this is happening, now what do we do? Lord says, look, commit your works to me and your mind will be established. It will be grounded, it'll be anchored somewhere, and that way when the winds blow, when the information shows up, yeah, it might rock you back and forth a little bit, but you're going to be stabilized. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Thy thoughts shall be established. Our perspective seems to be, your way, my way says, I need to get my head straight and then I'll be able to do right. And the Lord seems to say, no, do right and your head will be straight. Your head's not right because you're not doing the right thing. You keep doing the wrong thing and wondering why you're miserable all the time. You keep doing the wrong thing and wondering why you can't get control of your thoughts and they're just all over the place. It's commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Here's another good one. Look over in Psalm 119. It's one we quote fairly regularly. But I want you can read it here, Psalm 119, verse 165. Here's the establishing of the mind. Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace is what you're looking for. Peace is what people are willing to pay for peace. They pay big money for peace. It's great peace have they, which do what? They love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's a good verse on being offended too, but peace is the thing. Peace comes with loving the words of God, loving what God said. Peace comes with doing what God said. Here's another one, Philippians. You know these verses. Philippians, and I'm take you back to Psalms and show you David how he applied this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. So one of the consequences of a lack of commitment to the Lord is a lack of mental stability. One of the consequences of not being devoted to your Creator is a lack of mental stability. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's keep reading. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. All of that is wrapped up in peace of mind. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, how does that happen? Well, because you're careful for nothing and you're going to the Lord in prayer and thanking Him for what He's done, and so your mind is stable. It's founded. It has grounding. And so, little exhortation there, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, just, lovely, good, report, virtue, all that stuff. Think on these things. How often, let me ask you, that list is a pretty incredible list in verse 8 there. How often do we think on things like that? How often do you actually think on things like that? I know me. I read news, and it's not true, or it's just depressing, or whatever. But thinking on good things, thinking on true things, thinking on honest things, thinking on just things. Oh, how about this one? Thinking on pure things. Wow. Lovely things. Things of good report. If there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So there's a way the mind is, it's focused on the Lord. It's focused on the things of the Lord. And as a result of that, like Proverbs said, like Psalms said, there's stability. There's an anchor there. There's peace that results there. And so I'll show you where it's applied in David's life. But it all describes something that is so needed now. Mental stability. People are all over the place. People's minds are all over the place. And more than that, there are media outlets that are purposely trying to make your mind fearful, trying to make your mind scared, trying to make you intimidated, and that's the job of some of these people. And it's no wonder people's minds are. It's no wonder, like we were talking about in Sunday school the other day. It's no wonder psychology, psychiatry, All those things are big business. Big business. People's minds are hurt. They're incredibly hurt. And I would say a lot of this stuff could be solved if people devoted themselves to their Creator. A lot of their mental issues would probably go away. I don't say all of them, but we have yet to see people who devote themselves to their Creator and see how their minds respond to that. So here's, let me take you to David. Psalm chapter 4. David is a perfect example of this. All through his life, minus a couple of mess ups, generally all through his life, David is committed to the Lord. And he has a mindset that is so different from people. It's why God, undoubtedly, why God chose him to do what he wanted done and replaced Saul with David. Psalm 4 is David as an example of a man who does exactly what Proverbs said. He commits his way to the Lord, and his mind is established. His thoughts are established. And so he writes as a result of answered prayer, as a result of being faithful to the Lord and the Lord reciprocating and easing his mind. Though he is surrounded by enemies, and David is a man who is very, very often his life is in danger. There are very few times in David's life where he's not in danger. And if it's not on the battlefield, when he's leading against the Philistines, against something else, some other battle that he's fighting for Saul, if it's not against an outside enemy, then it's against an inside enemy. It's somebody trying to get him from the inside. Saul hates him. There's a whole group of you know, David's from the tribe of Judah, and so he's, when he gets anointed king, understand that Benjamin and Saul, who is from that tribe of Benjamin, those Benjaminites, they don't like David. And so either David's fighting an outside enemy or he's dealing with an inside enemy. And the point is, his life just seems like it's in constant peril. But David doesn't act like a man who's in constant peril. He does the right thing. And he writes this psalm, Psalm 4. And he recommends some things, but let's read it. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now verses 2 through 5, he's going to give some instruction, some recommendations. He says, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? That's a old way of saying lying, just seeking after lies. Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe, sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. More than in the time that their corn and their wine increased, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So this is the psalm. This is David writing as a thanksgiving, as a recognition of an answer to prayer, and as an instruction to people who are his enemies. And he writes this psalm and he says, you guys, the Lord has answered my prayers before. Not that I'm entitled to his ear, not that just because I'm speaking he's going to listen, but he's answered my prayers before. And you need to pay attention because you need to watch how he's going to use my life. He knows he's anointed as king. And he says, you need to pay attention and watch how he's going to use my life. He set aside the godly for his own purposes. And he says that in there. And he gives some instruction there. But David's first, from the first verse to the last verse, David is, he's confident. He is, though surrounded by enemies, though surrounded by foreign enemies, though surrounded by domestic enemies, David is confident that the Lord provides safety. The Lord has called him to do a certain thing, and he's going to fulfill that purpose. And so the people that are coming against him, they can either stand back and pay attention, or they can be hurt in the process of trying to hurt David. And that's kind of how he says this. So I'm going to break it apart a little bit, but that last verse there, it's good. But first verse, David says, he pleads to God, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." I like the way David starts these prayers. "Hear me when I call, O God." It's like he knows he doesn't have really any right to approach God. And he knows just because he opens his mouth, God is not obligated to hear anything he says. And so he requests the ear of God. "Lord, hear me when I call. O God of my righteousness." I like that. That's the Old Testament version of the righteousness of God. That's the basis of fellowship with God. "O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." That doesn't mean he made him fat or anything like that when he was in distress. What it means, you know, when you get stressed out, one of the things you feel or can feel is you just feel boxed in. Like, I can't do anything. I'm just, the walls are closing in on me, and I can't go anywhere. And David says, well, you just broke down the walls, and when the walls were closing in, you just enlarged me. I mean, you just knocked the walls down. I don't feel closed in anymore. The pressure's off. All this stuff that was coming in is now gone. And he says, you just enlarged me when I called out to you, and so you took away all the pressure. He said, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." What a humble way to approach God. And so he approaches by the God of his righteousness, by the mercies of God, which Paul says the same thing in Romans. He beseeches people by the mercies of God. David approaches God by God's mercy. And it's a great beginning to a prayer. But he's recalling something that's already happened in the past. He says, "Lord, you did this in the past." And then David sort of turns his view to his enemies, and he says, "Now you guys, pay attention. The Lord has answered my prayer before, and I need you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing?" It's like, when will it end? When will it end? When will you get the point? When is it going to end? He says, but no, and this is all verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's all David speaking to men. He says, but know that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. That's David recognizing his own call. And David recognizing God's protected him in the past. And God's used him in the past, and it's not because David's some great person or anything. I mean, David is a good, humble man, but David recognizes the call of God on his life, the purpose of God in his life, and he says, look, the Lord has set apart a man who is godly, which he does, and he sanctifies that man. And he's going to use that man. So there is some value to personal devotion. Just like you read in Proverbs. There's value to personal devotion. And David says, Know that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He's talking about himself. And he's kind of warning his enemies, look, the Lord has answered my prayers before. The Lord has called me to do something. And I fully intend to obey the Lord and what he's asking me to do. And if you're going to get in the way, you're going to get hurt doing it. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. It's all, you know what this is? It's the same attitude David had towards Saul. Remember when David says, when he cuts off the skirt of Saul there, and his heart is just broken. Just like, why would I do that? Why would I intimidate Saul like that? I mean, after Saul has gone crazy trying to kill him, and David's just, his heart is broken over this little thing, and he says this, touch not God's anointed, which I know that's taken way out of context. But David's talking about Saul being God's chosen king at this point in time, and David has no right to kill Saul. And so David is hands off. And so he's going to let Saul run his course. He's going to let God deal with Saul in the way God wants to deal with him. David says, it's not my job to punish Saul. It's not my job to seek vengeance on Saul. God raised up this man. God will put down this man. And David has the same attitude in this psalm about himself. He says, God has raised me up for something. God's called me to something. And I fully intend to allow him to work through me in the job he has for me. And if you guys are going to fight against this, be prepared. Be prepared to be hurt in the process. I mean, he's incredibly confident. What I'm saying is, going back to the first thought here, David, in the midst of tremendous trouble, he's not fearful. He's not, his mind is not wondering on what's going to happen or anything like that. David is very confident that God is able to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He says this, verse 4, stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. He tells these guys, be careful, don't be hasty in what you're about to do. Don't be hasty. You need to get away from the crowd, and you need to think about what you're doing. You need to go to your own bedroom, and you need to think about what decisions you're making. Because what you're about to do is going to hurt you. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness, put your trust in the Lord. Well, there you go. Offer the sacrifice. What is that? Fulfill righteousness, trust in the Lord. Put it this way, trust in the Lord by working out God's prescribed righteousness. That's how you trust in the Lord. You work out God's prescribed righteousness. And I mean, you could say David's a good type of Christ and all this, and he is. Then verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? So the enemies look at David and they're like, well, you're just a small group. And I mean, where is your help going to come from? And David says, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Let them see. Let them see what you're doing. Let them see it. And then he says this. And because he's not being hateful, he's just stating really facts. He says this, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I have joy in my heart more than in a good harvest. David is his mind is so established. His thoughts are so established. And why are they established? Because he's dedicated his whole life to serving God. And so when he gets in these bad situations, He has some history with God. God's answered some prayers. And when he faces trouble, he faces that trouble with a lot of confidence, saying, Lord, you've done it before. Thank you, Lord, you've done it before. And then to the enemies, he says, you guys need to rethink your strategy. You need to really rethink, because the Lord has made his plans known that David is going to be king. And if you fight against that, there's going to be a problem. So he says at the end here, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increases. So it's not even circumstantial joy. This is just joy. It's the joy of the Lord. What does Paul say? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So it's not circumstantial joy. That's a lot of joy now, I guess, is circumstantial. If things are good, I'm happy. If things are bad, I'm not happy. David says, look, I have gladness more than if the harvest was great. It's not circumstantial. It's not tied to any event. It's tied to the Lord. My joy is tied to the Lord. Though the scoffers are many, it's like, Lord, just show them your work as I reflect on your goodness. And then he says this, what a great verse, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. As a man who says this, when he's surrounded by death threats, when he's surrounded by danger, when his life is in constant peril, David, he thanks God, he warns the people, and then he says, and I'm going to bed, and I'm going to sleep, and I'm going to be in peace, because I know the Lord is the one that makes me dwell in safety. What a great thought. You know what he is? David is an example of what you read in Proverbs. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This is a man who's, you could say, well, he ought to be living in fear. I mean, he ought to be terrified. But commits his life to the Lord, and this is what he says. Thank you, Lord. You've answered prayers in my life. You have a plan for my life. You've told me that plan. You've told Israel that plan. So thank you, Lord. Now let me direct some thoughts to these guys after me. You guys need to take note of what you're doing. You need to be careful. But as for me, I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to sleep. Because the Lord is the God of my peace. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. I love that. I will both lay me down. Both. Number one, lay me down in peace. Number two, and sleep. You can, as we all know, you can lay down for a long time and not sleep. He says, I am both going to lay me down in peace, and I'm going to sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That's a man whose mind is anchored in the Lord. And because his mind is anchored in the Lord, he is stable. He has confidence, not just arrogance, or not arrogance, he has confidence in what God said to him, and he is at peace. His life is not at peace. The circumstances of his life are not peaceful, but he's at peace. And not only at peace, he's glad. He lives in joy. It's such a unique man. I mean, just a unique perspective. But it's true, and it's just Proverbs 16 verse 3 fleshed out and lived out. What did he say? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's David's a good example of that. There's other examples in the Bible, but that's a good psalm to describe that whole thing. So I hope that's helpful to you. Good verses, good verses. Let's pray and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray you to apply these things where they need to be applied. Thank you for your words. Thank you for all that you've said about the mind. I know we cannot possibly cover everything in, I don't know, 30 or 45 minutes here, but this particular principle, I pray it's helpful and can be understood and be applied where it needs to be applied. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for those that may be watching at home, and I pray we'd all get the help we need. And for those that are sick, I pray you'd heal up their bodies and give them grace, give them help. Thank you for Mary Beth feeling better. I pray that you continue to help her with the heart issues, and then the appointment tomorrow, that be able to get some information for the future, maybe medicines or whatever else we need to do. And I pray you give us some direction on all that. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Take some prayer requests.